You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're on with Ali Salih. She's the director of Make Room USA, which is a national advocacy group. They research, share, and advocate for bold solutions to the country's housing crisis. And we're a microcosm of that here, but it's happening in L.A., San Francisco, New York, just about everywhere that they've got limits to where you can develop, and a lot of people wanting to live there. Ali, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Jim.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Now, here in Miami, we've got Wynwood. We've got Little River, where the Vagabond Group is doing their MIMO hotels.
Alapata.
All these little areas, the roads, all these close-in areas, Coral Way, they're under incredible pricing pressure. It's just absolutely unaffordable to find anything that's a starter home. In fact, a starter home, one of my clients is developing zero-lot line starter homes in Coconut Grove. They started about 900 grand. You find me a family that can afford that, that's coming right out of, well, I guess you got to, because they're selling them, you know? So that's what's going on. All the people that were the historic neighborhood, it's gentrifying. Now, that's going to happen. I'm part of the issue. As my mom says, Jim, you're the problem. Well, I also want to be part of the solution, Ali. What can I do?
Great, great point. And, you know, at the top of the hour, you mentioned that this is a problem in heart markets like L.A. and Florida, Miami. But it's, you know, I just came from Erie, Pennsylvania, and Baton Rouge, Louisiana. These are places that people don't necessarily think of as being unaffordable. And I think we're going to start to see this creep into all parts of communities, including rural and smaller towns throughout Florida. But to answer your question, and particularly around the points of gentrifying communities, you know, we've got to really focus on preservation. You know, it's wonderful to see new investments coming in. We want that. We encourage that. But we also want to make sure that the people and the families that have made those communities thrive for, you know, many, many years have an opportunity to stay there. So one approach is, you know, finding ways to have preservation, as I was mentioning before, where you can purchase land ahead of time before the boom really hits, and use infill strategies to purchase private land and that, you know, may be easier to make for smaller units and still maintain them somewhat affordable to the families that live there. I think that's a really important set of tools and strategies, which is to think about how we can preserve some of that affordable housing in markets that are quickly becoming just extremely unaffordable kind of overnight.
Well, you know, we've got some journalists that are watching us on Facebook Live and listening, so you're getting your message out across, and we're proud to be helping you. Finding and identifying the land that's in infill locations, that's close in, that hasn't been identified yet. I got a secret for you, Ali. Not going to happen in Miami. That I guarantee you. Because every day, me and about 20 other people that I know personally are out there looking and scouring. The issue is that the numbers just don't work for anything right now, let alone affordable housing. So I believe that if you can identify and afford a place where you can put somebody and you can create a effective capital stack that make the numbers work, well, yeah, you can build a deal. But I don't think you could do that without significant government assistance at this point.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think there are approaches that one could look at, which is, you know, some of the things that drive up costs, right, are zoning regulations, land use policies. So there's some, you know, low-hanging fruit and incentives that public agencies could be providing, which equal dollars at the end of the day. So that's one aspect that we're looking at. You know, how can we break down regulatory barriers that make costs more efficient, that make it easier to get deals done, and, you know, maintain those, and in turn maintain some of those units at more affordable rents.
So, Ali, hold on, pause. Let me translate that, because nobody understood what you said except for me and about a handful of people. So let me kind of reduce that to what you really meant. What you're talking about is telling the developer, you can build 200 units the way it is right now. We'll let you build 250, but 30 of those have to be at a price point that's for XYZ, and it's got to stay that way for 30 years, and that's got to be a covenant in your deal, and then we'll give you the extra units. That's sort of what you're saying, isn't it?
Well, I think that's one approach. I think that you could look at it. I'm not sure it's got to be a 30-year covenant, but I think, you know, you're also getting, resources in the sense of density bonuses that you wouldn't get normally if you were just building those units, right? So you're allowed to build higher, perhaps, and there's more flexibility that would be provided. But, yeah, I mean, to some extent, that would be the way, one way that you could get some additional units in.
Well, the reality is what you really need to do is to be able to design a building that can effectively put the different people together in a way that they all feel comfortable and create what I got to believe is a beautiful community. You see, that's what we really have to get back to. We have to get back to the community. This problem is firing up a lot of anger and frustration in our community for a variety of reasons. People are losing their home. They have to move. Then they move to a place that's nowhere near their business. Then they can't afford to get there where they work. Then they're on their way. They're stuck in traffic. They're late. They're getting angry. They're wasting time. They're wasting productivity. They got to leave early. They start working. I call it Los Angeles hours, where you leave at 10 and you go back in your home by 3. That's me, for the record. And I work from home in the morning and in the evening because I just can't deal with it anymore. And when I call my mom on the way back, you know, I think I've said it before, what she says, Jim, it's your fault. Live with it. Well, I don't want to live with it. I want to live in a community that's people get along. So there's the bonuses. There's federal funding, which at least was somewhat preserved in the new tax code. What are some other creative solutions? We've got like a couple more minutes left, Allie. You know, roll out real dream list.
Well, I think, you know, we should look at the range of tools. So one of those is helping people provide rental assistance, right? So for some people, there's a gap between the income and what they can afford. So we're looking at creative approaches where private governments or private companies, where this is a real problem for employee retention, are providing some funding to help bridge that gap. So rental assistance and new approaches to helping solve the income gap is another area. A third is emergency assistance. For a lot of people, they can, you know, get by, but then you're living so close paycheck to paycheck that any little interruption, medical emergency, a car breaking down, can really cycle you into a downward spiral that could end up into eviction and homelessness. And so we're looking at approaches that allow for short-term, small-dollar loans, and we'll be piloting those in Miami at an event that we'll be announcing in May. And then I think a whole host of ways where the government can be working to think creatively about how do you make any investments that the government's going to make in housing, make them closer to transit? How do we look at funding transit and housing hubs in similar places? And so I think, you know, a combination of those things. And the other thing is really getting people to get more civically engaged. You know, policymakers will listen to their constituents. So we have developed a digital tool to help people communicate one-on-one with policymakers, share their stories, and remind them about why solving this problem is so essential.
How do people get to that tool, Allie?
So you go to makeroomusa.org and you join our efforts, and we will make it easy for you. We actually even provide points and gamify the system. So, to incentivize people to take some of those actions and make some of those calls to their city council and members of Congress, et cetera.
You know, you've talked about emergency assistance, housing assistance, things for people that are living paycheck to paycheck. You know, all the terminology and all the color that you've been giving paints it in a certain, we'll say, economic framework. But I think one of the real things that's a real problem here is the middle class. And the middle class is being pushed down. There's no, you know, the middle class needs this housing. It's not just for people that are visibly at risk. It's also for the move-up housing, to move into the neighborhood where your kid wants to go to school. There's just a real lack of housing that is, I'll have to call it attainable. What do you think?
That's right. And I couldn't agree with you more. We believe that, you know, ultimately you need different kinds of housing to meet your different stages of life, right? And
correct.
And we should be able to have solutions that meet all of those needs. And I think, you know, we're looking at new approaches. Perhaps there's the, you know, Uberizing of housing coming down the road, some disruptive technology that'll make it easier to do that. And I think, you know, you're right. We need to be thinking about particularly those moderate income families that don't necessarily meet the federal regulations for getting assistance and yet are increasingly being further and further stretched. So there's no question we're losing the middle class, and we are certainly losing, at rapid rates, homes that are affordable for families all the way up and down the income ladder.
Look,
with the exception of high end, for sure.
It all starts with a discussion, but the discussion needs to precipitate action. You're saying that you've got another thing coming up in the next few weeks. What's going on?
Yeah, so in May, we are partnering with a group called Credit Builders Alliance. One of the things we want to do, and your viewers, listeners may not be aware of this, but if you're a renter and you're paying your rent on time, religiously, it's not counting one bit towards your credit score. So one of the things we want to try to do is help people improve their credit so they have access to better capital and, at least it get them on the pathway to being closer linked to opportunity, also to financial savings, because these days, many people don't even have any resources left over to save for a rainy day fund. So we'll be talking and bringing financial partners and resources to bear, because we're largely an advocacy organization, but there are a lot of wonderful groups in the Miami-Dade area that are providing services that will help link families to additional opportunities, to housing providers, and that kind of thing. So we're looking forward to coming back, and hopefully as we get closer, you'll be able to give a shout out and remind folks to come on out. We'll be doing it on a weekend. It'll be a fun day of music as well as awareness building efforts and connecting these Miami residents to services on
All
the
right.
ground.
We're out of time. You got to make sure you connect with me. I'll see if I can get the station to help you with that somehow. And I want to make sure we address the middle class hole in the donut, because that's really where America's really having the problem today. There's programs for the top and the bottom, but there's nothing in the middle. We got to address that. And Ali, I really appreciate you coming on. I want to thank Lisa for arranging it, and we'll be right back. Thank you so much, Ali Solis, for bringing the affordable housing question into focus on the show today. Thanks, Ali.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Jim.
My pleasure. Wanda, rock the house. We're going to talk after this about how I find deals, and we'll also give an update on how Vivian's feeling and what's up next for her. Stick with us. It's an awesome show, if I do say so myself.
All kinds of weather, jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you, jump in the line, rock your body on time. Okay, I believe you, jump in the line.
Song. I love Harry Belafonte, right? I love that song.
See.